It's the Big Dumb Picture Show.
And welcome back to Big Dumb Picture Show. As always, it's me, your host, Dustin Meadows. I am joined for part two for our ongoing series that we're finally swinging back around to, working through the Blade trilogy. I'm once again joined by the wonderful Nikki Winkleman.
Hello.
And the delightful Pat Deering.
Hi.
And we just finished watching Blade 2, so we're most of the way through the trilogy now. I obviously am biased. Everyone, it's fairly common knowledge that this is my favorite film in the trilogy. But it was 2002 release, directed by Guillermo del Toro of Hellboy, Pan's Labyrinth, Pacific Rim fame, among other things. Written by David S. Goyer, who I was going back through. Written a lot of pretty good stuff, like some of the Nolan Batmans, but has also written a lot of trash, like Man of Steel and Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. also directed Blade Trinity, which we'll talk about that on the next one. We'll talk about Blade Trinity next time. But this is a pretty successful movie. It's a $54 million budget, made $155 million, so did pretty okay for itself. Definitely stepped up everything in terms of the budget, in terms of the action sequences, in terms of just everything about it. It's a much bigger film than the first Blade, and I fucking love it. So, what do you guys think? Did you enjoy it?
I liked it a lot. I cringed a lot.
Yeah.
As we discussed in the first one, I'm not a fan of blood or gore. But
a lot of blood in this one.
There was a lot of blood and gore in this one, yeah.
A lot of blood, a lot of almost Cronenberg-esque kind of body horror points.
Yeah,
a lot of faces opening up.
It's like even some
tongues.
Some D'Argento type stuff of like point of view inside the heart stabbing.
Mm-hmm.
Not to spoiler alert.
they should know by now.
Yeah.
It's all right. Cool. There's also there's an interesting mix of practical effects in this movie, but also a lot of CGI at points. And I think practical effects, like especially when the part that I think of is when they're doing the autopsy on the Reaper vampire.
That's
gross.
Yeah, real gross. Because it just looks like a scene out of The Thing or something. But then you have some of the CGI stuff, like a couple of the fight scenes, most noticeably the scene where Blade fights Nyssa and Assad in front of the spotlights in his warehouse.
Yeah.
That I did watch that fight scene and kind of think like, uh-oh, like what does Dustin see in this movie? Because I was really missing Wesley Snipes like self choreographed like stunts and everything from the first movie, but I'm glad they brought it back later.
Oh yeah.
He was fighting all the soldier type people towards the end there with the shock.
Oh yeah.
Sticks.
Oh my god, that scene is so good. But going back, the CGI certainly hasn't aged well, but at the same time, a lot of CGI from that time, with maybe the exception of Lord of the Rings, has not aged well.
Oh yeah.
So I think that's going in its defense. And I'm always willing to overlook bad CGI to an extent if everything else works in a movie. And I think in the case of Blade 2, it absolutely does. Like, story's pretty solid. They kind of repeat some of the story beats from the first one. Storming the fortress and fighting vampires. Him having to cut himself to feed one of his compatriots and nurse him back. Well, I guess it's inverted this time around. But even in spite of those, still pretty into this movie.
Yeah.
It's got a really solid cast. For the most part, it's a lot of smaller, kind of unknown actors. But then you've got, of course, Kris Kristofferson coming back as Whistler, which
was great.
I always love Kris Kristofferson. Yeah. So fucking good in these movies. Like he is just as integral to these movies as Wesley Snipes is, I think. And then, of course, you've got Norman Reedus, who most people know from Walking Dead and Boondock Saints.
Yes.
Playing a character named Scud, which is just a terrible name.
A lot of terrible named characters in this one.
We had the blood pack. So you've got Lighthammer, the dude who has a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
Verlaine, which is just a German-esque sounding name for the vampire who looks like the girl from Run, Lola, Run.
Oh, is that the Amelie vampire?
Yeah.
I wrote down my own names for them because I could not remember their names.
Amelie Vampire.
Amelie Vampire was for her. And then there's Ludacris Vampire. Which one is that?
That was Assad.
Assad, okay.
Ludacris Vampire. I want to hear your names because I know all the characters' names.
One of them I just wrote down was Chainmail. Which one is Chainmail?
Oh, that was Chupa. Who was Matt Schultz from the first couple Fast and the Furious movies, as well as the first Transporter.
Oh, God, that's right.
Yeah.
Where do vampires shop for chainmail? Like, watching this movie in particular, I was like, where are they shopping for clothes? Like, do they have their own tailors? Or, like, where are they going? Because I just want to see, like, vampires shopping for chainmail.
I'm sure they have blacksmiths. Well, especially when later they get that... that all black, like, weird rollerball-looking armor.
Yeah.
That they have to, like, use a wrench to, like, tighten the armor pieces up.
And I don't know how silver bulletproof vest just isn't part of everyone's attire. Like,
you would think so.
You would think that would be, like, number one priority.
Everyone knows, right. Like, hey, how does Blade kill us with bullets? Wait, bullets don't kill vampires. Oh, wait, they're made of silver.
Yeah. And why hasn't anybody developed those? Because clearly none of these vampires have jobs because all they do is rave.
Yeah, my God.
So much raving.
So many vampire raves.
That had to have been a weeknight, too.
Right. And, like, I get that, like, most people go clubbing at night, but, like, that's their daytime. That's like, go to work.
Nikki's got a lot of opinions about these millennial vampires.
The thing is, like, I just don't see them contributing. Like, that's my biggest problem. It's, like, it's not the blood-sucking. It's that they're not contributing to society.
I like that you mentioned that, because there's that really weird exchange during the club scene where it's the Irish vampire Priest, mm-hmm. By the way, what was your nickname for Priest?
Priest was the only one I wrote down as Priest because his name was easy. I could remember it.
But
I wrote down face tattoo, chainmail, Amelie Vampire, Ludacris Vampire, Asian Vampire, and Priest.
Oh, man.
And then lawyer non-vampire.
Lawyer non-vampire.
How are they paying him? How do you have a lawyer on payroll when you have no job? I just don't understand.
It's a good question.
They're independently wealthy.
Yeah.
So during the club scene, Priest's character has that really, like, it's vampire racism, basically, where he looks at Assad, the Ludacris vampire, and says, like, half these people aren't even purebloods. Like, we should kill a bunch of them, like, just to make sure. And Assad, like, just, like, looks at him, is like, I'm a black vampire. Like, you can't say that to me. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
But it's interesting seeing, like, even in the world of vampires, like, racism is still a stain there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, real strange name for it, too, half-bloods. These might as well have turned around and called them all mudbloods.
Like, yeah, right?
They wound up shooting half of them anyways, too. A lot of collateral damage when they were trying to kill that one reaver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then they didn't.
No.
God. I'm trying to think who else character-wise. There was Snowman, who was the Asian vampire.
Okay.
Snowman.
The mute swordsman. I never realized, I was just reading the character description, and they described him as a mute swordsman. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess he doesn't have a single line.
I noticed he didn't say anything, yeah, but I didn't know that was a character choice. I thought that maybe it was just like a bad actor choice.
The bummer is, going back to this, they really underutilized Donnie Yen in this movie. Because Donnie Yen is Ip Man from the Ip Man films.
Mm-hmm. Who does he play?
He plays Snowman.
Oh, that's he's Donnie Asian Yen. Vampire. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Also played Chirrut Imwe in the newest Star Wars.
Oh, right.
Oh, I see.
The blind, not Jedi, but pretty much a Jedi, basically.
Does he have some sort of, like, sensory disability in every movie? Is he, like, blind in one? He's mute in another? He's deaf in another?
I mean, maybe. It makes sense, like... But he did a lot of the fight choreography for this movie, too. And that's pretty much, like, his career is just movies with fighting.
Yeah.
Because he's one of those guys. He's like a Chow Yun-Fat or a Jet Li type. And, like, going back and that, like, knowing who he is now, like, it's a bummer that he gets a fight scene. And his one fight scene is him running and doing, like, a jumping, like, half bicycle kick, then stabbing a vampire that, like, cuts its own junk off to get away.
Oh, God. And then, like, shuffles backwards up the...
Yeah, like, Exorcist up the crawls wall. Up the wall.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a cringeworthy scene.
Yeah.
A lot of goop came out of him when he did that.
There's a lot of goop just in general.
A lot of goop. It's a goopy movie. A goopy movie.
Yeah. That autopsy scene you were talking about reminded me of the autopsy from Independence Day.
Oh, yeah. Because
there's so much goop there, too.
Yeah. Well, it reminded me of the androids in Alien and Aliens.
Oh,
every time
the
androids get damaged, just like white stuff come out of them. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's like joint lubrication fluid or something. Who fucking knows what androids are?
Ah, my hydraulic fluid.
What was your nickname for Reinhardt, aka Ron Perlman's character?
Ron Perlman was what
just
I wrote down.
Ron Perlman vampire.
Yeah, was Ron Perlman.
It's just Ron Perlman as himself.
Yes. Yeah.
With like an 18th century British man's like lamb chop mustache.
And then of course there's King Vampire and Anakin Skywalker, Reaper.
Mm. I also like that the Reapers in this just look like it. Even this movie predates it, but they just look like the things from The Descent.
I've never seen that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
Is that the one where they're spelunking?
Yeah.
You know what? I have seen that one. Yeah. I didn't sleep for weeks.
Oh no, it's a terrifying movie. It's a great fucking movie.
Yeah,
probably one that I'll have to do at some point.
Speaking of the way the Reapers look, I don't know if what I watched was specifically for this kind of film, but it was like a time lapse of makeup.
Uh-huh.
And I'm assuming they probably did it similar, but what they did was they actually like painted on all of the, like, they painted the whole head like red with veins and stuff on it, and then painted over it with like a translucent type like white, and then put like a glaze over it, so like they're really like painting the layers of the flesh to create that look of like the see-through skin with the veins coming through.
It's crazy stuff.
So, yeah.
I mean, it works. They look fucking good.
Yeah. They did. Like, I really liked the makeup in it.
Yeah. That's the benefit of practical effects. One of the big ones I always think of is I Am Legend, and just how fucking awful the vampires look in that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, because they're all CGI.
Yeah. They look like PlayStation 1 graphics. It's so bad.
Yeah. You just have to accept that movie, like iRobot, is just half cartoon.
Yeah.
Right.
And again, like, I don't mind that when it's done well. Like,
in
case one, like, Scanner Darkly is a movie that's proof, like, you can, like, do animation and, like, a bunch of CGI stuff in the mix and, like, have it look good.
Yeah.
This movie is proof of that, even. Like, even for the little few moments of bad CGI it has, like, everything else still looks pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
Right.
Blade Trinity, it gets real bad.
Oh boy.
But I mean, that's across the board. Everything gets bad in Blade Trinity, I think. One of the things I liked, I never noticed it before this viewing, is Reinhardt, Ron Perlman's character, never takes his sunglasses off.
Oh.
The entire movie. Even Blade takes his sunglasses off.
Yeah.
And I just watched it and I was like, that's like a really weird choice, but like, it's also a really cool choice.
Yeah.
Because Ron Perlman is just like, he's real easy to dislike in this movie. He's usually easy to dislike in most movies where he plays these kinds of roles.
Yeah. I've been seeing a lot of Ron Perlman lately.
Really?
Yeah.
Just on like a Ron Perlman kick, or just like on accident?
Not on purpose. Yeah. Like I got Nate to watch Pacific Rim with me other night, and like totally forgot that like Ron Perlman plays like a kaiju organ dealer.
Yeah.
Throughout the whole thing.
One for the all 5 minutes that he's in it.
Oh, right.
Well, that's another one too. Like Del Toro, just like, you know, Tarantino or Spielberg, has people that obviously he enjoys working with. Perlman's been in a lot of what he's done between the Hellboy films, Pacific Rim, and this.
Yeah.
But yeah, Perlman's fucking great in that. And and then obviously, like, Ron Perlman just seems like he's always like nobody wants to see Ron Perlman as he is. Like, he's always just heavily made up or under prosthetics or some extensive, like, ridiculous. Like, what is it? I think in Pacific Rim, like, he has the sunglasses and has, like, gold teeth or something ridiculous. Yeah. And then this
gold
obviously.
Gold plated shoes.
Yeah. Then this obviously, he keeps the shades on the whole time. He's got that ridiculous fucking, like, mustache thing. And then Hellboy, obviously, he's a demon.
Was he not on that show, Beauty and the Beast?
Yeah, I was just going to say Beauty and the Beast as well. That's that's the first thing that ever remember seeing him in.
Me too. I remember that as well.
Him and why am I blanking on her fucking name?
I can't even remember your name either.
fucking Sarah Connor. Linda Hamilton.
Yeah.
Linda Hamilton's the actress. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I was just scanning through YouTube clips after this live action Beauty and the Beast came out, just because I was curious. I was like, was this show good? I don't remember.
I don't remember the show. I think I just remember seeing promos for it.
Yeah. Well, and apparently I ended up watching was a promo, and it was like, it was just 4 minutes of Linda Hamilton and Ron Perlman, like, just longing for each other. Yeah. There was a lot of hugging. Like, they only kissed once in the whole thing. And I was like, what was this show? Like, how did this show exist?
Is it available on Netflix or
I don't know if it's on Netflix. Was it one point? Oh, Jesus.
Because I feel like there needs to be a viewing of a season, maybe. Was there more than one season?
I think there was a couple. Huh. But, holy moly. But the beastie, I want to say, like, he lived in the sewers, I think. Something along those lines. So, yeah, it's just... It was real weird. It was like a gritty reboot for Beauty and the Beast before gritty reboots existed, which is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. That was the birth of the gritty reboot, maybe.
Birth of Ron Perlman. And we're all better off for it.
Yeah.
Can I also say that, like, I feel like the Reapers are kind of a weak villain. Like, it kind of
individually,
like,
yeah, absolutely.
Because it kind of reminded me of like the aliens and Signs. Like,
yeah.
Like your kryptonite is sunlight. Like, that's like they like explode from light. Oh, yeah. And it's like, that's, you know.
But I mean, that's
more than half the day. I guess that's true. But
that's also the only thing that kills them.
Yeah.
Right. I think it just seemed that like when there was only about six of them or whatever, they were fighting in that vampire night day rave.
Yeah.
They seemed like real more terrifying and like harder to kill. Oh, yeah. They're in the sewer and they're just like mowing down like waves of them at a time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was so in the club. I mean, that's obviously before they get the edge.
Right.
Like
right.
In the sewers, like the ones they're shooting, like they're not dead. They're just
knocked over,
briefly
and
incapacitated.
Yeah.
For them to beat a retreat, and then they set off what is essentially a UV nuclear bomb.
Yeah, the physics of the light bombs concerned me a little bit.
The physics of the light bomb in the movie about vampires?
Yes, the physics of the light bomb in the movie about vampires, where they would penetrate through the water to kill the Reapers, but not the vampires.
Yeah, it's it is good that the guy named Scud was able to figure out how to bend light.
Which one is mirrors. Scud again? Scud that chainmail?
No, Scud was Norman Reedus.
Oh.
Yeah.
Scud
was Norman Reedus.
Scud
okay.
was his, the new Whistler.
I'm just not
for a couple
good.
Of minutes.
Not
right,
good
right.
Names.
Yeah, a lot of ridiculous nicknames. I love the hang up there is the UV light bomb and the physics of it. Whereas for me, it's when Whistler throws Wesley Snipes his sunglasses.
Yeah.
And then they just magically unfold and he catches them perfectly in midair.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was like, don't get me wrong. This looks badass, but oh, man, this is silly.
They right? also had like another bromance moment in this one. It
oh,
was
yeah.
like the reverse. And I just really wanted to see that kiss again. It just didn't happen.
I like they really do have like that father-son dynamic because obviously that's there. But again, this is another thing like... Wesley Snipes is so good at this character because of how much he doesn't say.
Yeah.
Like, and because yeah. most of his performance is through looks and guttural noises and everything. And Whistler even has that line. Cause somebody says something like, oh, Blade doesn't talk about X much. He's like, Blade doesn't talk much about anything.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, no, the audience, we know that.
Yeah. we know.
Which is fine. All Blade has to do is kill vampires. That's all I want out of these movies. I don't want Blade giving fucking soliloquies. I don't want him doing some Alas Poor Yorick bullshit when he's holding Nyssa on the roof at the end and letting her get burned up in the sunlight. I was like, nope, just be quiet. Like, just hold her. Then stand up and then it's off to go kill that first vampire from the beginning of the movie in a peep show in London.
Yeah. She also like disintegrated very gracefully in
oh,
the
yeah.
sun. Like everyone else kind of exploded very disgustingly.
Well, it's because it was gradual.
Oh, okay. Oh, because the sun was rising. Yeah.
Yeah. Real is what is it? 30 days a night, 60 days a night.
30 days a night. Yeah.
30 days a night. Same sort of deal.
Yeah.
At the end there.
Oh, man, that's another solid vampire movie.
Oh, yeah. And it's always a real poignant way to kill off a vampire.
Just like, hey, let's
see the sun.
Just sit with them as they watch their last sunset.
Yep.
The tragedy, not to spoil too much, only the first two Blade movies do that.
Hmm.
Although the first one, it's a much more violent making a vampire watch the sun come up.
Yeah.
There was nothing graceful about that disintegration. I also looked up the actor who plays Nomak, Luke Goss.
Yeah, Luke Goss.
Sexy, this
guy.
Yeah,
he's a handsome dude.
Yeah.
He's also the villain in Hellboy 2.
Okay.
I
looked briefly at his filmography, and he plays a lot of characters that aren't attractive for being as attractive as he is. Yeah.
That's why Luke Goss pays the big bucks.
Yeah.
Or at least by Guillermo del Toro's used him a couple of times.
Yeah.
I also found it very entertaining when they cussed in their own language.
The
subtitles of cussing.
The
vampire
swearing.
Yeah, the vampire swearing. It was great.
Yeah, particularly the very beginning, the fuck this
fuck
shit.
This shit. Fuck this shit. I know you that.
But in old ancient vampire language.
Yeah, it was great.
It's like, you know English. Like, why do you... You know Blade speaks vampire. What's the point of speaking your native tongue?
Which just sounds very much like Russian.
Yeah.
The vampire language?
Yeah.
Well, because this one, it started in Prague. And I have to imagine that for the timeline for everything that happened, they were probably in the vicinity
of that
for the majority of the movie.
And didn't the first one, wasn't the bumper at the end of the first one
him in
Russia?
Yeah, it was him in Russia. And then it makes sense because their whole operation is mobile. Like, they travel.
Right,
so they never have, a home base for long.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically just travel to a city, kill a bunch of vampires, and then keep moving.
Yeah.
Which is the way to be.
Find an abandoned garage that looks very similar to the one you were in for the first movie.
Yep. Yeah, warehouses. Every country's got them. Yeah. I like to, this movie, again, I like when they dive into kind of like how a vampire world would work. You know, we already saw a lot of that in the first one with them having their hands in politics and law enforcement and stuff like this. And then this one, we saw a little bit of the first one. We see it more in this one of that class warfare again, especially with Priest character.
Yeah.
About, them not being purebloods. And then we see it cause a lot of those vampires are hanging out at a rave and eating razor blades and making out and doing just weird, weird
the hell
shit.
Was that?
Yeah.
It was a lot of weird stuff in that club. And then they're doing extensive body modification, when the dude is getting his spine fucking jacked up.
Yeah, the girl's just getting skinned for some reason.
Yeah, there was a movie, I want to say it's probably 15, 16 years ago, maybe even longer, that had Dee Snider from Twisted Sister in it called Strangeland, where basically he plays this serial killer, and he explicitly he picks up people, he gets his victims from body mod raves where they go and they do shit with their spines and all kinds of other gross shits and piercings and all that stuff. And every time I see that rave scene, I think of that movie.
Yeah.
But it's some bizarre shit. One, it is called The House of Pain, so it makes sense.
Right.
You know, they're not pulling any punches with it.
So the only vampires that have jobs are people that do body modifications to other vampires and rave DJs. Those are the two careers you can have as a vampire.
Pretty much, that's it. Well, DJ makes sense. You can work at night.
Yeah.
So that checks out.
And all they do is club, so.
Yeah. I mean, you can't have vampire farmers, really.
No. Because it's all they're doing is just sucking blood and raving.
Yeah.
And body modifications.
I mean, that's the thing. If you didn't need to sleep or eat ever, wouldn't you party most of the time?
I guess. I think eventually you start to feel like you're just not contributing to the world.
Sure. That's a fair point. Well, and that's the thing too. I think obviously, that talk about class, a lot of the vampires there are probably younger or as young as a vampire can be anyway. And the big picture is maybe these vampires are 80 years old, whereas these ones are 200 or whatever.
Yeah.
But
like when you get to be like 3,000 years old, you're like, I don't want a club anymore.
Yeah, it's like I'm just gonna call it a night. I'm gonna cook something. I'm gonna watch Wheel of Fortune. Just turn in early.
Turn that down.
Eat my blood jello and soak in my my blood pool.
Yeah, that's the perfect example.
You guys snort your blood cocaine. I'm gonna eat this blood jello.
As silly as the drugs and like the blood pudding and all that is, like, again, like, I like that it's kind of a glimpse and it's like, what would a like, how does a vampire do? Like, what are they doing in their free time?
Yeah.
Just eating blood jello or blood pudding or whatever. Just doing some blood cocaine.
Yep. Getting in a blood hot tub with your clothes still on.
Yeah.
Blood hot tub salesman. That's another vampire career.
Yeah. A lot of pools of blood in that one guy's house.
Yeah. I'm not sure the purpose of the second one that Blade dives into.
I think just when you're cooking up a lot of embryos, just
got to have a
en masse.
I was not comfortable
need some extra
with
blood.
That tower of babies. That was like real creepy. It's like some weird Matrix-esque harvesting tower.
Yeah. And then Whistler just lit it up.
Oh yeah.
Just aborted all those vampire babies. Yeah.
No choice.
did not care for that.
Well, that's another one too. I always think of that scene. I think of Alien Resurrection, where they find like all of the failed Ripley clones that they try to make.
Oh right.
Mm. And then like they find like the just horribly disfigured Ripley clone. She's just like, kill me. It's like, no, this checks out. Whistler did the right thing.
Oh yeah. Oh, I believe he did the right thing. I just didn't care to watch it. It's like the posters that protesters hold up of the dead baby. I don't want to see it.
You'll carry out the order, but you don't want to pull the trigger.
Nope.
Or watch the trigger being pulled.
I'll close my eyes and point and shoot.
Oh. This one, too, in terms of the action sequences, I talked about that a little bit. One of my favorite things, I think the hallmark of any good action movie, is when they can have what is essentially a half hour long sequence, which is exactly what they did with the club scene, because I think from start to finish, that scene is like 27, 28 minutes
really?
Long. Yeah. And that's just like, it's all in that one location and it makes up almost a third of the movie.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's fucking amazing to me. Like I am so on board with that. And then like, it's not an action sequence the whole time. Like, it's absolutely, like, it pulls you in, and then once the action starts, like, it doesn't let up until the very end of the scene is over.
Mm-hmm.
And I love when movies are able to pull that off.
I was disappointed that club didn't have the same fire alarm blood.
No, the blood.
that
no,
they had
blood rave?
The blood rave from the first one where they had the... Whatever you call those, like the
sprinklers.
The fire sprinklers.
The blood sprinklers.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm disappointed they didn't use the same song, too, but
yeah.
I think you only get it with that one.
Did they kill the DJ at this rave?
They did not, because I think it's entirely because the DJ didn't pull a fucking Uzi on Blade.
Yeah. Yeah. And they weren't targeting.
Yeah.
Vampires.
Yeah, they were looking for the Reaper vampires.
That's right.
Even though 20 regular vampires got lit up.
Right, yeah, I didn't notice if he was part of the collateral damage there.
I don't think so.
I did think it was funny when they reported back to like the king vampire that they were like, we've lost one of our own. I'm like, one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We lost several.
Yeah. We lost like 23.
We've already lost one of our own.
I like
one
this.
That mattered.
I like that this the movie also had that... that trope that's so common in vampire zombie movies where somebody gets bitten and then they fucking lie about it.
Yeah.
And then it ends up just really fucking somebody else's day up later in the movie.
God damn it. Face tattoo.
Which.
Was that guy's name?
That was Lighthammer.
Lighthammer.
Yeah. Face tattoo was Lighthammer.
Another thought. Where do vampires go to get face tattoos? Just in general, where do people go to get face tattoos? Because, like, I just want to watch someone go into a tattoo parlor
and
say, order a face tattoo.
I, being of sound mind and body, want this.
And for the tattoo artist to be like, yeah, that's a great idea. I'm going to do this to your face.
Yeah, most of the artists I know don't do face tattoos.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too, is...
Is vampire face tattoo artist a career then that you could have?
I mean, it has to be.
Or is he just going to a regular tattoo parlor?
That's the other thing. He had to have gotten those before he became a vampire.
Oh, really?
Because, well, yeah, because that's tattoos are essentially scars.
Oh.
So they would heal.
Oh.
Interesting.
I have never thought about that.
He got face tattoos.
I spent a lot of time
thinking
about fictional characters, you guys.
He got face tattoos and then became a vampire. That sucks.
But that's the thing. It's like, I think because the idea is that all of them are purebloods, so I think that's a huge continuity error.
I don't think
he did. He would have had to have, but I think it was like, no, this dude was like born a vampire, but was he born with those?
Maybe.
All right.
But like, also,
I can suspend my disbelief about a lot, but infants with face tattoos, get out of here.
In the same respect that you can't get a tattoo then as a vampire, if you get a tattoo, become a vampire, then you can't get it removed because that would be scarring too.
Exactly. Yeah.
So like, if they like cut off his face, would it just regrow with face tattoo?
That's a good question. Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Because maybe it would just regrow as it was.
Maybe.
I opened up a bigger can of worms than I thought with this tattoo line of thought.
Speaking of, when they cut off just like part of Priest's face.
Yeah.
And then it's just like lying there with the eyeball, like still looking at people. Like, what happened with that? Does that grow back into something?
Oh, I imagine somebody just like nudged it into the sunlight.
Just gave it a little tap.
That's a deleted scene. is Ron Perlman just going, sliding it into the sun,
pushing it slightly with his toe.
Yep.
Ew, grody.
It's also the wink is too much.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
poor Priest, the one guy whose name I could remember.
I don't feel too bad. He was a racist.
That's true.
Yeah, racist with like a hilarious British accent.
Was it British? I think it was Irish.
Was it Irish? Okay.
It was Irish.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
There
that
are
makes
a variety of accents.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, real just suicide squad of like random races.
Yeah, it was a little melting pot situation. Well,
say what you will. Vampires racially very cool. Yeah. Except for Priest, who's a gigantic racist.
Right. Well, yeah, the Irish vampire.
I want to know what the like interview process was for them hiring this lawyer as well. Like, did they interview other lawyers? And the other lawyers were like, I don't want to work for vampires. Do you have any money? I'm going to need to see a retainer because you don't have jobs.
He seemed, he had a real Aryan look about him.
Yeah, he was probably
just on
board.
Which is probably how I assume they were on board. It's like, yeah, no, this dude looks like he hates people.
And maybe it's more of like a captive situation where they're like, you can be our lawyer and we won't suck you dry.
Well, that could be too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to think that in the interview process for this, it was just that he used that joke about being like, I'm only part human, I'm an attorney.
And then hired.
Yeah, and all the vampires were just like, oh, yes, you.
There's one thing about us vampires, it's that we love a good goof.
Yeah. And 3 years later, they're like, he just keeps telling that joke every time he meets
he's
people.
He's got the one joke. Can we please find another vampire attorney for us?
No, he's a great lawyer.
Oh, God, but yeah, as a person, he sucks. Wait, that's what we do.
Yeah.
That's how it acts.
I just want to see many spinoffs of this.
It was interesting to me that the attorney was the guy in charge of like the blood draining operation.
Yeah.
For Blade as well.
I mean, the other dude's gotta fucking eat his blood pudding. Yeah. He can't be bothered with that shit.
down in his little sanctuary.
I have to say, when they had the rave scene and then they like pan through the floor and the Reapers are like under the floor, I was like, this is why I was afraid of Fraggle Rock. It's like, this is my Fraggle Rock nightmare.
Because you knew that Fraggles existed underneath our floorboards?
I was afraid they were dangerous. I mean, I don't want any scary Muppets living underneath my floor. I identified most with the old man and the dog.
You just like, were never getting any sleep.
He is people. Whatever's under the floors, I want nothing to do with.
Oh boy,
because they could be Reapers.
Yeah. but they're Fraggles, which sounds much less threatening.
I don't trust them.
Yeah,
just tiny, furry, scary Muppets,
furry Technicolor Reapers.
Fraggles.
Oh yeah. Have we not had this conversation ever in our friendship? I don't think I'm afraid of Fraggle Rock.
I don't think we have, but I find it hard to be intimidated by the word Fraggle.
I think we did bring it up in the very first episode.
Did we?
We just talked about things that we were afraid of, and you did mention.
I mentioned that I'm afraid of Fraggle Rock.
Yeah.
Fraggles.
Well, now in episode 2 of the Blade Trinity, you find out why I'm afraid of Fraggles.
Down at Fraggle Rock.
No.
Down at Fraggle Rock. Oh, Nikki's having some flashbacks.
I am.
Well, cool. Let's move on into our segment, fight scene.
Fight scene.
Now, there's obviously these movies have a lot of great fight choreography in them, especially with Wesley Snipes having multiple black belts in various martial arts disciplines. And again, doesn't hurt that Donnie Yen did a lot of the fight choreography for this film. We saw some pretty great fights. Specifically, I think my favorite fight is the one where he's just beating the shit out of all those guards to Crystal Method's Name of the Game.
Yeah.
Which is such a badass song for that set, that sequence. So if we could see Wesley Snipes fight another actor playing a character, or even a character from another franchise in one of these movies, who would we want to see Wesley Snipes fight?
Oh.
I'm going to go with Uma Thurman from Kill Bill.
Okay.
Yeah, because I just feel like that would be some sweet sword fighting.
Yeah, that'd actually be pretty badass.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think.
And sexy.
Oh, incredibly so.
Yeah.
God, Uma Thurman's so good in that. Like, I'm trying to justify in my mind how these worlds collide.
Yeah, I don't know. But killing Bill would have been a lot easier if there had been vampires around.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Maybe. Oh, nope. I got it. Here it is.
Okay.
So Whistler and Bill used to be buddies. Bill sends the Uma Thurman to kill Whistler.
Yeah.
And then Blade comes into the fray. Bam. Universe is mishmashed.
I like it. Pat?
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. I mean, those two cops that are in Kill Bill are in all of that universe's movies, right? The two cops.
Oh yeah, Michael Parks mm-hmm. is. He's okay. He's in a lot of them, but he plays that same character in like 4 different Tarantino films.
Yeah, yeah. And one of them is
From Dusk Till Dawn.
Planet Terror or whatever.
Oh, Planet Terror and From Dusk Till Dawn.
Dusk Till Dawn. Like, those seem like universes where there could also be vampires.
Oh, From Dusk Till Dawn, there are vampires.
There's literally vampires.
Bam, there you go. That makes sense.
Works out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man. Who would I like to see Blade fight?
I'm thinking about it too. I'm like thinking, are there others? Like, I kind of want to see Blade just in like a dance fight as well. Like not like a
like
fight
Capoeira?
Fight, but like a Channing Tatum like dance fight.
How many shirts like, are getting ripped in this fight?
Like
Nikki?
So many.
Every single one.
All of them.
No,
I think it's just
left.
Because there's a lot of like alley fighting, and I feel like dance fights also happen in alleys.
Mm. Yeah, West Side Story.
Yeah, there could be like a West Side Story, like Reapers versus Vampires. And I just want to see a musical of Blade 2. Blade 2, the musical.
That's actually, I would go see that. That'd probably be one of the only times I would be okay with a movie getting made into a musical, just because I'm curious.
Yeah. Blade 2, the musical. who would you cast in that? I mean, obviously Wesley Snipes.
Obviously Wesley Snipes.
Right, but like, you're going to have to have some.
Christopher Walken. He's a song and
dance
man.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be a great vampire.
Yeah. Would he play Chris Christopherson's role?
No, absolutely
no.
not.
Chris Christopherson,
Chris Christopherson can sing.
Can he sing?
He was singer before he was an actor.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
Yeah, he's
a
country singer.
Him. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's a country musical.
Yeah, he actually, Janis Joplin, one of her biggest hits, Me and Bobby McGee, is actually a Chris Christopherson song.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I like him even more now.
Oh, yeah, he's great. He's a fucking phenomenal country singer.
Christopher Walken would be a hilarious Reaper.
Oh, and he'd be good. And he's another one. Like, he did like song and dance before he like started acting a lot too.
Yeah.
We've all seen his Fat Boy.
Exactly. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
So good. I think I'd like to see Blade fight like a typical Jackie Chan character. A lot of the same choreography, but just like really goofy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, some more slapstick in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it seems that every time he fights someone, including this Reaver guy, those people also like magically know like Kung Fu or something for some reason. And they're taking it very seriously. I want to see someone who knows how to fight as well, but is also like bouncing off of stuff.
Yeah, and
like
knocking and jumping henchmen through ladders.
Yeah, and like knocking henchmen into dumpsters or like into fish tanks.
Either I think either Jackie Chan and Shanghai Noon or Jackie Chan and Drunken Master would be the way to go.
I'm just now imagining Rush Hour, but with Blade instead. Not Wesley Snipes instead, like Blade instead.
I was actually thinking Jackie Chan from like the tuxedo. So he like
okay.
Like, definitely pretending that he doesn't know why he's able to fight like this and why he's in this situation.
Yeah. That's, I think we talked about it in the first one. I think we talked about Jackie Chan being the first choice for Deacon Frost.
That sounds familiar.
Brought up?
Yeah, maybe.
I'll have to fact check that later, but I feel like he was one of the, it was either him or Jet Li, but like, I feel like it was Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
Which would have been real interesting. And which would have made sense if you're going for a martial arts movie. I think for me, the obvious choice is Statham.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Blade versus Jason Statham. Just bring Jason Statham in as a new character in the next Blade movie and just have them fucking go at it.
Yeah.
Like, especially if Jason Statham is doing the fight choreography from the Transporter movies. Those are going to be some fun fucking fight scenes.
He'd look sexy with some vampire teeth, too.
Oh, yeah, and he'd pop his shirt off, too.
Sold.
Well, because Blade Trinity, the villain is the fucking dude from Prison Break, who is... Oh, man, guys, I don't think I can say enough bad things to really prepare you for how terrible Blade Trinity
is. I'm really
is.
Nervous.
I mean, it's going to be fun. We're going to have a good time.
I got sidetracked because I immediately started picturing... Blade versus John McClane and got kind of excited that Whoa. Would be amazing.
Like old John McClane though, not old like John. Current.
No, yeah. No. Like, yeah. Like original 1984.
Yeah, John McClane doesn't exist after Die Hard with a Vengeance. No. There's not a fourth and fifth Die Hard movie.
Just receding hairline John McClane, not entirely bald John McClane.
Yeah.
John McClane.
Just have him fight John McCain.
John McCain, yeah, McClane. I don't like
Cool. Let's go ahead and wrap up. Okay. Favorite moment, favorite scene, Pat?
Ooh, I think I agree with you. My favorite scene is when he's fighting all those cops / bodyguards, yeah. whatever they were, and he just keeps taking their taser sticks and just like stabbing them in the faces.
Yeah.
So like they've got a metal rod like through their dome, and then they're it's also so just violent. Getting like clown like buzzer zapped like while it's happening. I think that's just absolutely wonderful, including Ron Perlman just standing there and just like pushing more of them at him.
Yeah, yeah.
Get in there. Go get stabbed in the face.
Winks?
I'm just gonna, like any moment where there was vampire swearing with subtitles, just really enjoy the like fuck this shit subtitle over
the incredulous what the fuck.
Yeah, so great.
Ron Perlman's mouth to fuck you in the club.
The mouth fuck you was great. Was so the club good. Scene in yeah, I mean it is like a 30-minute scene, so like a third of the movie. But yeah, I did enjoy the club scene quite a bit.
Yeah, that's yeah. For me, it's between the club scene and the bodyguard fight at the end, especially when Wesley Snipes does a standing suplex on the last yeah. guy, and then the next shot, like he pops up into frame in front of Ron Perlman.
Yeah, I was also disappointed that there wasn't as much glass breaking in this one. There was still a good amount of
glass breaking,
but the first one where they're in that like library or whatever, yeah, the tomb of all the yes, and everything's encased in glass. I was like, this is gonna be great.
Right. I think just Deacon Frost had like way better like design sense than
well, they probably learned. They're like, fuck, if we put everything in glass, Blade is just going to break
it. He's going to show up and shoot it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We learned our lesson the first time. I like to, in the club fight scene between Nomak and Blade, there's a lot of wood breaking because they keep throwing each other through benches and scaffoldings.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that busted up old church.
So, like I was watching that again. I was like, man, this fight scene might not seem as cool if they weren't throwing each other through shit every 3 seconds.
There were also some kind of sweet wrestling moves in there, too. I saw some elbow drops in there.
The flying elbow drop that Nomak does in their final fight. Oh, so good.
I enjoyed that. Yeah.
No missile drop kicks, but maybe next time.
Maybe next time. Well, I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Cool. That's going to wrap us up for that. Let's get plugs in real quick.
Oh.
Yeah, so I guess... I mean, all of us, we got the Whiskey Bear Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
Coming up.
May 9th through the 16th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Check out WhiskeyBearComedyFestival.com for more information on that.
Yeah, very exciting.
Yeah, that's about it for me. I mean, there's Tuesdays with Mac and Winks every Tuesday at Shadowbox Live. And two of those Tuesdays, the 9th and the 16th, will be part of the festival.
Yeah, should be a grand old time.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Pat, Nikki, thanks for joining us for,
absolutely,
for Blade 2. We're almost done. Thanks to Eric for running sound and all that stuff. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you next time. It's the big